Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
As we continue on our journey through the core 52 verses identified by author Mark Moore to help us cultivate a biblical worldview, we come now to Matthew chapter 16. And tonight, we're going to talk about the cost of following Jesus. And when we come to Jesus, we find forgiveness of our sins and we find eternal life in Him. But Jesus was very clear that there was a cost to following Him. And so our theme for tonight's message is actually the passage. It's two verses, Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. This is Jesus speaking, and He says this, "Then Jesus told His disciples, 'If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it.'" That's Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, and those are weighty verses. That's a heavy statement from Jesus, that we have to count the cost of following Him, that we must take up our cross and we must follow in His path, the path of our suffering servant, the one who went before us and who did not live a life of utter ease. No, He lived a life of suffering, and He was described as a man of sorrows. And the path of following Jesus can also be filled with suffering and sorrows. But it's worth it because in the end, we get eternal life and we get help along the way from our Lord. So I want to give us 3 points tonight. The first point is this: Jesus calls all people to Himself. Jesus calls all people to Himself. And I want to remind you, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, when Jesus says this, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." And so remember, Jesus opens His arms to everybody, every precious human being who was created in the image of God, knit together by the very hands of God. Everyone is welcome to come to Jesus. Jesus isn't just for a select few. No, He has come that anyone might come to Him, turning away from their sin, turning toward Him in faith, finding forgiveness, and finding eternal life in Jesus. Jesus told His disciples that He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Him. But remember, He calls all people to come to the Father through Him. His arms are open to receive anyone. He says, "Come to Me if you're weary, if you're heavy laden." And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you're wore out from trying to earn heaven, or maybe just trying to navigate life. I want you to hear that Jesus, who is the Son of God, has His arms open to you too. He wants you to come to Him, to find rest in Him. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And if you'll turn away from your life of sin and come to Him in faith, He will forgive you and make you clean and call you His own. He will give you strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. But as He gives that call, He says, count the cost of following Him. So let me remind you again of Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus says, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Our second point is this: Jesus calls anyone who comes to Him to count the cost of following Him. And I want you to notice the first thing that Jesus said. If you come after Him, you have to deny yourself. You know, you hear people sometimes saying, well, it seems like all that Christianity is a call to deny what seems to be a natural urge and a natural instinct to me. And the answer to that is, that's exactly what Christianity is. That's exactly what it means to trust and follow Jesus, that I don't obey every urge that I have. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I have some urges that lead me in some pretty bad directions. And now I'm a parent, and I have 2 kids, and they're wonderful kids, and I love them. But part of my role as their parent in this moment is to help them make decisions. You know, and now I've got a kid who's an adolescent, And I'm starting to transition into more of that advisor role. In other words, throughout the course of his young life, I've made his decisions for him. That's the role of the parent. Protect the child by making the decisions for the child that they are not mature enough to make. Well, now part of his growth pattern, part of his maturing process is that he has to learn how to decide. If he reaches a decade from now, 23 years old instead of 13 where he is now, if he reaches age 23 without the ability to make an independent moral decision, it doesn't matter what else he's got going for him. He will tank his life. So what I have to do now is I have to start allowing him to make some decisions and advise him in those decisions. Now, again, that changes over time, and you kind of let out more and more freedom as time passes, but that's what God is calling me to do as his father in this moment. That's what God calls parents to do. We need help making decisions, don't we? And sometimes I even lament at age 40 that I've got to make some hard decisions in my life and there's nobody deciding for me anymore. That's part of becoming an adult. Well, listen, Jesus says if we come after him, we have to deny some of our baser instincts. We have to deny some of the things that just feel natural. I inherited some things in my family tree that if I followed those urges would lead me into destruction. For example, I'll just be honest with you. They say that alcoholism passes down family lines, and often it does, whether it's nature or nurture or some combination of both, that if you have alcoholism in your past, in your family, chances are higher that you will battle alcoholism in your own life. So we have two decisions to make. I can make the decision of saying, well, it's in my past. It feels like it's intrinsic to who I am, so I'm just going to go and become an alcoholic. Well, how's that going to work? How's that going to be for my wife? How's that going to be for my kids? Or I can say, no, I will deny that urge and choose rather to trust and follow Jesus as my Lord. And whenever that urge comes, I'll deny it so that I can choose life and not live in destruction. Does that make sense? So Jesus says, of course, yeah, you want to follow him, you're making a choice. You've got to deny yourself, and you've got to take up your cross, and you've got to follow him. Now, how many times did Jesus deny himself in his ministry? He was tempted, just as we are all tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to succumb to the temptation in a sinful way, right? He was tempted in every way, just as we are tempted, and he had to deny. I mean, think about this for a minute. He had been fasting in the wilderness 40 days, hadn't eaten a thing. And the enemy shows up and he says, if you're the Son of God, turn that rock into a loaf of bread. And I can only imagine that the temptation had to be so rich that Jesus might have even been able to picture that hot, steaming, fresh, ready for butter loaf of bread. And he hadn't eaten anything in more than a month. Of course, that was a real temptation, but what did he choose? He chose to deny himself because there was something better. Man does not live, he said, by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany during World War II, and he actually left Germany to come study in America, and when Hitler took over and the Nazi regime took over, he went back. That's the sort of fortitude that he had. He said, I can't stay in America where I'm safe when my countrymen are facing this sort of danger. And so he went back and he stood. And he stood against Hitler and he stood against the Nazis and he was actually executed for that stance just days before the end of World War II. But he wrote a book that has been translated into English and it is known as The Cost of Discipleship. And in The Cost of Discipleship, Bonhoeffer differentiates between what he calls cheap grace and costly grace. And I want us to look for just a moment at what he calls cheap grace. He says this, cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. And what he's talking about is this notion of, I heard a comedian say one time, you got to understand your religion. I can do whatever I want as long as I pray a prayer, say I'm sorry, then I'm good. That's not the life that Jesus calls us to. He calls us to a life of radical discipleship where we would become more like Him. Not just go do whatever we want and then say, oh, I'm sorry, and it's all good. No, that we would be transformed as we trust Jesus and follow Him. So now let's look at Matthew 16, verse 25, the second verse in this passage. Jesus is still speaking. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Our third point is this. Jesus calls his followers to look for a greater reward. Jesus calls his followers to look for a greater reward. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and this is admittedly one of my favorite passages, and I go back to the NIV 1984 translation because that's how I first memorized this passage. But I want you to hear what the author of Hebrews had to say about Jesus and the suffering that he endured. Listen to this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Did you hear what he said? Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Well, was the cross a joyful moment? No. But the cross led to a joyful moment. That joyful moment when Jesus was able to rise triumphantly from the grave, having paid in full the debt of sin for anyone who would come to him in repentance and faith. So that when he arose from the grave, he could say to his disciples, you go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. You welcome every person to come to me. The price has been paid for them. And so there was a joy. It wasn't joy in the pain of the cross. It was joy in the aftermath, the outcome of the cross. And so as we trust and follow Jesus, we recognize that there are going to be hard moments. There are going to be moments when we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. But there's a greater reality awaiting. It is worth it. Bonhoeffer, we already heard what he said about cheap grace. Now let's hear what he says about costly grace. Listen to this. This is unbelievable. Costly grace is the kingly rule of Christ, for whose sake a man will pluck out the eye which causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus Christ at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows Him. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. Isn't that beautiful? So, Jesus calls all of us, every human being on the face of the earth, to come to Him, to find rest in Him, to find forgiveness in Him, to find eternal life in Him. But as He extends that call, He also says, count the cost of following Him. It won't be easy. There will be difficulties. Just as they persecuted Jesus, they will persecute us. Just as they harassed Jesus, we will face harassment. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ all around the globe who are truly facing persecution to the degree that their lives are on the line for trusting and following Jesus. But they continue to trust Him. And they continue to follow Him because it's worth it. It's worth it because our risen Savior has overcome the world. And He is our transcendent God who transcends anything this world could ever throw at us. And He is our immanent God who has come near. He's here, welcoming us to come to Him. So tonight, we talk about what does it mean to count the cost of discipleship, to count the cost of following Jesus. We're going to have to deny ourselves sometimes. And that's because God loves us too much to allow us to run headlong into destruction without causing us to change our course, calling us to be like Jesus. Let's do that this week. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we love You, and we recognize that all of us, Lord, are tempted to make decisions that lead us astray, lead us places we don't need to be, and lead us to places that ultimately we don't want to be. Oh, we're so thankful that You give us Your grace, that You call us to a different direction. And by the finished work of Jesus on the cross and resurrection, Lord, we're so thankful that we can walk in that different direction as we trust and follow Jesus. We can only do it by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would help us, guide us, strengthen us, and give us everything we need to follow Jesus everywhere we go. And Lord, once again, before we bring this service to a close, we join our hearts and our minds and our voices together to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we'll answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us, and we hope you'll join us this Friday night for Friday Night Virtual Vespers as we look at that classic song, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. We'll see you then.